I don't know how you are put together, but I think we share commonalities as human beings. I know when I need to unlearn something and learn something new, it's quite a process. And I need lots of repetition. I'm just going to share one really simple one with you, and that is how to do superscript in Word. So if you're a Word user, you know what that means. If you have a bulletin handout, you know the little verse number that's higher and smaller, that's called superscript. I do that so people can find their verse. I haven't figured out how to do that in ProPresenter yet, so I just take those numbers right out. Someday I'm going to have to figure that out. So the way I have done that forever is to go up in the menu and put on your paragraph, and you find your, you have to highlight the number and then the superscript, and it's like, man, when you get down to the bottom of the page, all that stuff's at the top of the page. I know it's only that much, but like to me, it's, come on, man, it's got to be simpler than that. And I found out, I looked up, it's really easy to find, Control, Shift, and the plus button will do the same thing. So the first week I figured that out, as I'm getting down through some scripture and get ready for a Sunday morning, I highlighted that and did it, and I thought, well, I'll remember this tomorrow. I don't need to do anything. I got back, and I'm going, how do you do that? I had to look it up again, and eventually, now I don't even think about it. I don't have to write it down. I can tell you how to do it. But I had to unlearn that the only way I could do it was this. It's a really simple thing. This is not cataclysmic. It's not a crisis, not even in my office. I just like it better to be able to get right at it and then move on to the next thing. And as we continue looking at Jesus' own life in the book of Mark that we started a few weeks ago, we see him doing the same thing, teaching the people who are listening to him to unlearn some things they think they understand about who God is and what his relationship is with us, and to teach them the truth. And he has to do it over and over and over again. That's probably one of my biggest difficulties, because I'm the kind of person that you tell me and I want to go do it, and if I have to tell you more than two or three times, I'm frustrated telling you. You know, but Jesus wasn't frustrated. He spent 3 years doing this. And so Pastor Mike was here last week because I was off on vacation and he delivered the message. So this is a part two of a two-part restoring relationships or religion, or there's different ways we can term it. And last time we were together 2 weeks ago, he used this idea of fasting, that is going without food and water. And the people thought, that's how I have to get to God. I have to fast, I have to, and it's representative of all of the law of the people that he was speaking to then understood God. And he came and said, now you, I'm going to change this, I'm going to give you an example. And he talked about fasting, and then he said, but you need a new wineskin, a new container, a new perspective to put this new full truth in. Because if you just try to squeeze it into your old understanding of the law, it'll break, and you'll break. And you won't be able to receive what you hope to receive in this whole deal. So when he continues on a subject that we can identify with, and that is the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? You don't know that word. We're going to get into that a little bit, not real deep, but just a little bit. It's, we would call it Sunday. That's what we call it. It's today. You're here today on what we consider the Sabbath. Really interesting what Jesus teaches them and what we really need to unlearn and learn ourselves in order to have the relationship with him he desires out of love. And to go, to keep that little asterisk in everything in life, because he loves, because he loves, because he loves. That's an overarching theme in all of the truth Jesus teaches in all of the writings of the rest of the writers of the New Testament, well as the Old Testament. We have a fullness in the New Testament. So we move on in Mark chapter 2, and the first section is Mark 2, 23 through 28, as Jesus is talking about this concept of Sabbath that everyone he's talking to understands in a certain way. So Mark writes, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave them to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was not made the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. I told Diana this morning, you know, she prays over me a lot, and it's a good thing. I said, there's three different messages I want to preach out of these two sections of Scripture I'm sharing today. It's like, pray that I don't go down the wrong, that I'm not really prepared. But those things come to my head sometimes. Sometimes the Lord puts them there. A lot of times I put them there. So you can join her in praying. But here is a subject that they all understood, but we have different levels of understanding, and it depends on your knowledge and familiarity with what we call the Sabbath now. There hopefully will be something that is surprising in what Jesus is teaching, as well as some correction, should we say, in our perspective and observance. So in order to understand what it is, we first have to figure out what it is. So if you have a handout, the first blank is, what is the Sabbath? So just a little history here. It's really important that we find the history, because the reason for the Sabbath comes out of its creation in the first place. And as Jesus said, and he comes back to it, it's for us. It's not for him, and it's not for us to keep a day. Okay, we'll fill in those blanks perhaps afterwards. So the first Sabbath, by the way, we'll do this in a minute. Let's read the scripture. Genesis, right from the beginning, the second chapter, the beginning of mankind and all of that put together in creation. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation. And this is the beginning of the Sabbath. Interesting, in this word family in Hebrew comes both seventh, Sabbath, and rest. They're in the same word family, and they have different meanings. But here it's combined. God chose or came to the end of all it took to create the world. And by the way, he didn't have to take 6 days. He could have said presto chango, and everything could have just poof, been in existence. He did it for us. Why? Because he loves us. And there's a lot of things we need out of that 6 day progression, as well as this seventh day. The word rest means to cease, to desist, to stop. That's what the word rest means here. So it's not really identified as a Sabbath here, except to say it's the seventh day, and that God rested and declared that he was finished. So the next thing we come to is that Sabbath is commanded. It was created then, but it didn't get commanded till the institution of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Way, way past creation. The fall of Adam and Eve, the rise of Abraham and his faith, and all these great records of how God interacted in love with people, trying to draw them to himself. And finally, as Moses and the Israelites wandered around in the desert, and they received the law, which they interpreted as not God loving us, but in a sense giving us an expectation, which misses the mark, of course, completely, is given this day called the Sabbath that we all have more of a familiarity with. So in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The seventh and rest, those two words are in this concept right there. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. In that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and set it apart as holy. And I just found another connection I had to draw right here. So that's how the Sabbath started. That's how human beings started observing a Sabbath and the seventh day of rest, because the Lord said that they should do that. They needed to do that. Should. Commandments are weird. I kind of shy away when some people would say commands mean you have to, because God doesn't do have to's. He shows us what's right. He shows us what's truth and what's beneficial, and we choose whether he does that, and his love is not connected with whether we observe that kind of stuff or not. That's really important. down the line, especially, it makes a lot of importance. So that's the beginning of the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? The first Sabbath. Number two, what is the Sabbath for? It's really important that we understand its created purpose, because when we begin to stray away from what it's created for, then we start losing what it was intended for. Matter of fact, it gets to the place where we can't receive what it was intended for if we wander away from observing what it's instituted for, what it's there for. And so this is kind of the central and focus, and we're going beyond that, but this is a good place we'll spend a little time. So A, there's an A and a B. The A is the Sabbath is for my benefit. It's for my benefit, right there in the 27th verse of that passage we read. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. That's a whole different thing. So what are my needs? That's really important. And the primary need that was addressed in the creation of the Sabbath was for us to rest. We need rest. We're terrible at rest now. Now back in those days, primary agrarian culture, they worked hard in the fields, they worked hard over their livestock, and there was, you know, when everyone does about the same thing, that group understanding is really easier to understand, accept, and practice. Now we're like all over the map. It'd be interesting to do just a survey of a few people and what your lives are made up of and the things in your life. And we already know we don't have any time left. And all of the technology designed to give us more time just allows us to cram more stuff in. That's cool if you like accomplishment, but it doesn't do much for our need for rest. And the truth is, as human beings, we will not rest on our own. We must be forced. Sometimes I think the Lord brings certain afflictions into our lives so that we will rest, because then we become incapable of doing the things that we're always trying to do and being busy. So this is not, however, just some kind of spiritual lesson. The benefits of rest, or the drawbacks of not resting, are real in a world totally not associated with worshiping Jesus as King. So I have here a list of some areas that happen in our lives when we do not get proper rest. Physical effects: there's muscle damage and fatigue. Rest is crucial for muscle repair and growth. Without it, the muscles don't have time to rebuild, leading to soreness and fatigue. You got weightlifters out there, did that in high school. You can't just lift every day the same. You got to rest. Overuse injuries: if you're not resting and you're pushing your body, you have the risk of overusing and having injuries like shin splints and tendonitis, which, anyway. Decreased performance: when you don't rest enough, the things you do less well, and you can do fewer of those things. When you don't have the right amount of rest, this is sleep and downtime from activity and moving and the normal things of your day, your heart rate rises. Your resting heart rate rises. The lower your resting heart rate, like unless it's down in the 40s or something like that, the better it is, the better your health will be, the longer you will probably live, depending on the other things you're doing with your body. Your immune system becomes weaker and weaker when you don't get the rest you need. Muscle soreness can linger for days, and that might be a sign that you're not getting enough rest. That's physical effects. There are mental effects to not getting enough rest. You can have mood changes and irritability. You know that. You've experienced that when you've been under the gun, or your spouse has, or your brother or sister has, and somebody gets cranky, and they're in lack of sleep, or they're just going real hard at something. You have difficulty concentrating when that happens. You have stress and anxiety that rises. Interestingly, the hormones and things that happen in your body that you need when you're confronted with an emergency and are beneficial and give you energy will tear you down if you continue to feel them and receive them over and over and over again. And that's what happens when we don't get enough rest. Your cognitive impairment increases when you don't have enough rest. It's interesting, around our house in the evening when we're both tired, and you might not laugh about something at noon, but at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, it's hilarious. You know, like, that's kind of funny, but it can be devastating what happens when we don't get enough rest. There are long-term consequences to not getting enough rest. It can lead to overtraining syndrome. I had never heard of this before, but it is characterized by fatigue, decreased performance, and increased risk of injury. Your risk of getting chronic diseases, we all have things that come on, viruses and colds and things like that, but chronic diseases if you don't get enough rest, and it leads to diabetes and obesity as well as other chronic things. And of course, burnout, which means you go and go and go, and then all of a sudden you can't do nothing for nobody for a long time, unless even if you get some help. The Lord knew, and interestingly enough, God made the day of rest before the sin of mankind, where death came in. He knew we would need rest in perfection. How much more we need rest in imperfection. And if any one of you is perfect, I want to talk to you after the church. According to what we just read in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath is also for making sure our everyday needs are met. We see this in this example Jesus used as the Pharisees accused him of eating on the Sabbath. So they're just walking through the field, and it's like maybe some health people in the audience would think that tastes good. I just can't imagine. I don't like grape nut cereal either, but they would just take the heads of grain and they'd rub it until all the chaff, and they'd pop it in their mouth and chew it. And the Pharisees said, man, you're working right now. No, what they're doing is they were hungry and they needed something to eat, and so there was a snack right before them, and they took it. And Jesus, they used that defense to try to accuse him of breaking the law of observing a day. And he said, well, what about David? Now, here's the interesting thing about this example. This example is that David was highly regarded by every Jewish person. He was the king, the famous king. He was a man after God's own heart, described in the Old Testament when he was called to be king of Israel, the second king of Israel, after Saul made a mess of things. And so they highly respected how David lived his life, barring some big sin issues that really weakened his kingship. But overall, he was a good leader in that way. And he reminded them of what happened to David. And interestingly enough, my morning reading, I think it was yesterday morning, was this passage of Scripture that he referred to, which is from 1 Samuel chapter 21. David is running from King Saul. And he's trying to get out of there, and he's hungry, and he goes to the priest. And there before him were these loaves of bread, showbread, or shoe bread, as the old King James would put it. And it was put out every day fresh. Only priests could eat that bread after it had set out a day, and then taken back to any priestly. And David was not a priest. He was not from the priestly line. And the priest gave him this bread because there was a need. Well, why would we even talk about this then? We know that Sabbath is a need for rest. Why would we talk about the Sabbath also being a day to meet our everyday needs, the needs we have? Because it's been abused. Not so much anymore. Matter of fact, we probably wrestle more with not keeping the Sabbath in a set-apart way, which we'll talk about in a minute. My first church, I lived across the street from my mailbox, as often happens. You got to walk across the busy road, and it was right in front of a high school. And I had a neighbor across the side street that attended our church, and I sinned greatly against them by carrying a stamped letter out to the mailbox on Sunday afternoon after church. It was that kind of, but that was a correspondence and need to be made. It was probably a conference report back then. We didn't have email. So anyway. And you know how humans are, and we've experienced it, or we've been a part of it, or heard about it. When the day called Sabbath, and we'll do more defining for yourself, because this is where it's going, it's your Sabbath. That's really where we need to end up in this. You're not supposed to do nothing. You're not supposed to deprive yourself of a need you really have. And Jesus used this example, this David that you admire, the king of old, the historic, legendary, best king we ever had. This is what he did. And it was on the Sabbath too, by the way. And the last need, so we have a need for rest, we have everyday needs, and then it is for dependence on God. A Sabbath. This is the least, I'm saying that wrong, this is the reason that has the least direct stating of the reasons for Sabbath. But we see it all over the place. The first whisper of this connection of having a day set apart, we'll even define that in a couple minutes, and this idea of the trust it builds in us when we honor that is in Exodus chapter 16. So this is before the giving of the Sabbath command, and it is the time when they were wandering, the Israelites, in the desert, and they didn't have anything to eat that pleased them. I don't know what's wrong with these guys. I don't understand that whole thing. That's one of the big questions I have. They had cattle and sheep, and they were, you know, and they were eating something, but it wasn't enough, and they complained to God, and there was a whole big deal, man. You want to read that in Exodus. That is an interesting story of the lack of understanding of the love of God and presence of God in their lives. Anyway, that doesn't stop God, because he loves us no matter what. So he sent them this stuff called manna. If you're a regular, you know what that is. If you're not, you probably don't. It was like frost in the morning on the ground, and when they collected it, it was like a grain of some sort, and they would grind it up and make bread. And God said every day, and he did, every day they wandered after they got to the point where they wanted something else to eat, and God provided them this regular, so they never had to wonder, where's my next meal coming from? It's coming from the sky. It's coming from God. He has it settled on it, and we go out and collect it until the day they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, and then poof, no manna ever again. Ever again. And in his instructions for how to gather that in Exodus 16:26, he said, you may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. Boy, I'm having trouble. I've been on vacation for a week, so now I got to get back into figuring out how to talk in front of people. Here is a provision they could count on every day, and it was never more than they needed. Matter of fact, when God gave them the manna, the amount they gave the next day, if they saved it, it turned wormy and was inedible. God gave just enough. Give us this day our daily bread, from the Lord's Prayer. Boom, that comes right from there, man. That's just so connected. God is always connected to everything he's ever done. But on this Sabbath day, this seventh day, there was nothing. Don't go out. And of course, a couple idiots went out and tried to look for it anyway, and they didn't find anything. And God's going, oh man, I told you so. He didn't really do that. But he also provided with double on the day before the Sabbath. So their Sabbath was Saturday, still is in the Jewish community. So on Friday, they had double. And that day only they could keep it overnight and it didn't turn wormy. Talk about the provision of God. And so there was a trust that God would actually do that. That was less direct, and it probably became such old hat over a few weeks they didn't even think about it. But there was a dramatic example that gives us even more weight to the trust aspect of a day of rest. And believe me, we have to have trust to be able to give him what it takes to back away from our normal stuff for a day or a time, especially in our culture, which is so geared toward accomplish. And that is in Leviticus chapter 25. Heavy book if you don't read it correctly. I love Leviticus. I read some of it real fast, but I still love how God lays out how he loves us. And he said, not only do I want you to rest one day a week, every seventh year I don't want you to plow. I don't want you to tend the trees of fruit. Nothing. Let the land alone. Now we just go, so what? We'll drive down to Walmart anyway and get our meat and our everything. No, if they didn't plow in their minds, this is everything. It is our life. It is our income. It's everything. That culture and that society. He said, for a whole year, don't do anything. Don't plow, don't plant, don't weed, don't fertilize, don't do anything. And so you know what happens the year after that? If you're a farmer and you don't take care of your crops, you're not going to get anything, and it's probably going to be a couple years before you recover. They really had to trust. By the way, their record at holding the seventh year was not a good record. There was no indication that that ever became a regular, true observance where they let the land lay, as they call it, fallow, untouched, unworked, untreated for a whole year. In that, we see the need for us to trust God. And I was reminded after I'm up here sharing Psalm 31, whatever verse that was from the beginning, 31:15. Anyway, my times are in your hands, and that applies here too. To say I'm going to have my day of rest that I need, still meet my regular needs, but not make money, not harvest. So what David did wasn't harvesting to sell. It was harvesting some grains to eat for his daily sustenance. This is hugely woven into the concept of having a Sabbath. So much so that I think we can safely say that if I'm not honoring the Sabbath, I am moving away from trusting the Lord, and we could see a steady decline in my trust of Him if I don't listen and honor this Sabbath. This was a big deal. Isaiah, so there's some verses in the book of Isaiah that point again to the Sabbath. Now, the people that Jesus was talking to thought it meant I got to keep these rules and blah, blah, blah. But as we know, the Sabbath was for us, those who He made, that we would be refreshed and continue to be able to be productive, not to find God. And this was the correction. I don't observe a Sabbath to find God. God already loves us. I do it so that I can be benefited, so I can trust God. And no bad thing happens to us when we trust God. When our trust in Him goes up, the bad goes down. And even the negative things that are inevitable part of our world find purpose when I trust that my times are in His hands, so I can take this time to rest. So that's not all, though. Sabbath is, that's the A. Sabbath is for my benefit. B is the Sabbath is for the benefit of others. So Mark chapter 3, the first six verses, Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. This is my favorite miracle of Jesus, by the way. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Boom, there they go again. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. And he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At once, the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. This is one of those passages that's so full of stuff. It's my favorite because the man had to respond to receive the healing. And I just like that. I don't know. The Sabbath is for the benefit of others. As Jesus plainly showed here, there was a man in need, and just because there was a Sabbath requirement to rest doesn't mean that it is only for yourself and that there's no action that can be taken. The fact is that at creation on the seventh day, God did not rest from being involved in our lives. He only rested from creation. Everything that was created and would ever be created was created in 6 days. But He is on the job. He who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. God is awake, alert. He's with us, and we are called as well because there is a general call to all of us. As we started this series, the good news that Jesus is revealing in Mark in all His teachings is come and follow me. And so while I rest, I still should be someone who is calling to others to follow Jesus. And here he heals a man who has a need. And so I put a little word next to that B for me, and that is serve. It's a day to serve others. Notice the absence of going to church on Sabbath. We need the fellowship of believers for many reasons. Those of you here are having it right now. People who aren't here won't hear me, so I'm not going to harp on that. But this is not what the Sabbath was made for. God used the Sabbath, a day already designated as rest, to institute sacrifices, so there wasn't another day that they had to take off from their work and other reasons. And that's not what this lesson is about. The feasts and the sacrifices were on the Sabbath, but that wasn't the intent. God used it in good ways for us. We'll talk about what church is supposed to be in the fellowship as we get down the road in the book of Mark. So that's what Sabbath is. That's what Sabbath is for. Number three, the perversion of the Sabbath. Just quickly, we're going to talk about that. What had it become? It became self-focused. It's about me and no one else, so I don't have to help anybody else. It's just this thing. I'm trying to earn my way to God. And it resulted in an unloving heart. Who could come up with this idea after Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath and all the history they had with God's involvement to say at once they went away to plot how to kill Jesus? That's crazy. That's sin. That's what happens when we let what God intended become something we define instead. I do want to read this to you. There are 39 prohibition categories on the Sabbath in the Jewish community in Jesus' time. I'll just read their one word things. You couldn't, no carrying, burning, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, knotting, untying, shaping, I don't know what that means, maybe that's for plastic surgeons, plowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, threshing, winnowing, selecting, sifting, grinding, kneading, combing, spinning, dyeing, chain stitching, okay, that was two words, warping, weaving, unraveling, building, demolishing, trapping, shearing, slaughtering, skinning, tanning, smoothing, marking. And there are subcategories under this. This is expectation. You remember, it became their means to find God. All of this, if you didn't do this right, I mean, the number of steps you could take was prescribed, and I don't remember how many steps. It wasn't very many. You couldn't do anything. Plus, people must have smelled bad and looked horrible, too, if you couldn't comb your hair or nothing. It must have been a terrible day. And this is what it had become. The only way we can find God. And so that we're giving them the benefit. I'm giving them benefit of the doubt that that was like them really struggling to find God. What it had reduced to was power. How do I keep power? How do I make it about me? And I can put somebody else down, and I can judge somebody else if they're not doing all these things. And what did God give us a Sabbath for? To rest, meet our everyday needs, but not make our living, and to have dependence on Him. So, what it's for, what it became there, it's a whole other kind of subject of what it is now in our culture. I'm not even going to go into that because the last is the most important. It's number four. It's actually second to last. When is your Sabbath? When is my Sabbath, I put it. So personalize it for you. And what helps us define what that is, finally, is the fullness of the Sabbath as Paul revealed here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Whew. So this releases us from this Sabbath can only be a certain day. Sabbath can be what it needs to be to meet the needs it was designed to meet, which is a need for our rest, making sure that we're meeting our everyday needs and that we're developing a dependence on God. If those things are happening and you are choosing it, because that's what was meant when in Exodus chapter 20, when the Sabbath command was given, that God set it apart as holy, and he calls us to set it apart. We choose that we're going to back away from this normal, whatever that confusion is. I can't even define it because our lives are so different, right? You can be a stay-at-home grandparent with a bunch of grandkids and you're running ragged on their schedules. You could be working hard and you got to buy a car and there's a house payment. There's all sorts of ways we can divide that up. The truth is we need for ourselves, because God gave it to us because he loves us, we need Sabbath. When is your Sabbath? Since Jesus is the reality of the Sabbath, he helps us determine when we have a Sabbath. It is not rules, but it's benefits from a loving God that we separate ourselves from that normal frenzy. We can call it frenzy, right? It's frenzy a lot of the time. So two things. A day that suits you. It might not be Sunday. Now, we have church on Sunday. There's a reason to come to church, and that's a whole other issue. And what you do after Sunday, I mean, I've worked every Sunday for 38 years almost. So if it was, I'm in trouble with God, if that's what it meant. And so is Doug and Jim and Pastor Mike and people who serve. Praise team, Karen, you're such a failure. You're playing piano on Sunday. So disappointed. No. So this is serving the Lord and coming to learn about him and connect with one another, because we need that. And you hear that often here if you come here often. We need each other. But you need a day that suits you. You need to find a day. It could be a day that changes, but you need to find a day and choose a day and set it apart. That's what holy means. It doesn't mean perfect and you don't do anything imperfect. It means it is set apart on purpose. You set it apart for rest. And then there's daily. I personally believe the Sabbath principle applied most effectively for the culture we live in needs to include daily Sabbath rests, where you make it, I have to do that. I know how long I can work on mind work and spiritual work, and when I have to stop that, when I watch an episode of Gilligan's Island, because that's rest. Now, it's not doing anything that is apart from God, because the Sabbath is holy to the Lord. It's all still in the Lord. But daily, you need to schedule some time just to step back, breathe in Jesus, and ask him to help you and rest. Your family will thank you if you do that. You will thank the Lord if you do that as well. So you need to set Sabbath times for you. We need that. And I haven't mentioned it for a few minutes, but it is your dependence on God that will grow. And right in the middle, when you're at your busiest and you think, I really just can't stop now, but you know rest is needed. You can tell. You get hazy in your mind, or it's all over. Maybe some of us are all over all the time anyway, but you just have to stop and do that. The Lord will be there for me. He knows how to make manna, whether it's food or mental rest and resources or finances. He knows how to do that, and we will honor him when we do that. And the last, number five, is who should I serve on my Sabbath? It speaks volumes when in a moment away from your rest, you are able to serve others. And it's not about you meeting that need to make money or whatever else you do with your schedule. So I was on vacation last week, and as some of you, if you saw my posts, might say, what kind of vacation is that? I worked hard. My shoulder still isn't recovered. It was a work week at Covenant Hills. We dug deep holes in clay. We poured cement. We painted. We fixed picnic tables. But you know what that was for me? That was a week Sabbath for me. You would call that a sabbatical. So an extended Sabbath is a sabbatical. What makes it that? Was I not expending energy? Was I just holed up somewhere reading my Bible? No, I was away from this normal duty of preparation and the touches that happen in this with We Care and community and all that, and I was serving. I was serving our camp, and I was serving everyone who goes to camp and gets to enjoy the things that I helped to make possible, not for any attention. Matter of fact, I missed the group photo because we had to come in for a grandkids concert down in Saline, and they took the group photo. I'm not even in the group photo. It's not about that. That was a Sabbath. When people say, I needed that. That really helps. And those kinds of things really help. Who can you serve on your Sabbath? So there's some things you need to think about if you want to be healthy in the Lord and receive the fullness He promises. And the good news of following Him, set apart some Sabbath time. And here's, something we need to do always, and that is include some other people in your life. I suspect on this subject, you are not separated enough from your life to just make this decision on your own. You ask your spouse, you ask your family, you ask coworkers who follow Jesus, people who don't know Jesus as their Savior, don't understand this concept of the benefit because God loves us in giving us permission to even say to a boss who wants us to work that overtime forever, and there's a space for that too, to say, I really need this rest. Gather some people around you who know Jesus and help you. Retirees, I hear this all the time. I am busier now than when I worked. Perhaps some of that is rest that you're doing, and you might consider it that. I accept that. But somehow I figure there's probably some of you who need, as retirees, to build in Sabbath, rest, dependence on God, while your needs are being met all the way. Because God loves us. He doesn't give us sets of rules so we can find Him. He found us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this concept, way out of whack. And frankly, Lord, we can't even identify with the culture in which the Sabbath day was created and how it was received by those in that culture. But we can certainly admit to the craziness of our world. And sometimes it's, I just love to be the right kind of busy, even in minutes, every minute kind of filled for a season. But Lord, we know it gets wearisome on different levels. And I know, Lord, that it gets to a place where we begin to depend on our own abilities to provide everything for us, and to think that we can't even take a break or everything will fall to pieces. All of that is included in this, Lord, and I pray for your wisdom and guidance that we your people, would come to you for the rest you designed in us, and that you demonstrated the God of all creation at the end of 6 days of creating rested. And you gave that gift to us. Help us, Lord, to plan that receiving of that gift so that we might be full and not stretched thin to continue to echo your call that people need to follow you. You have truth that helps now, and you have eternity that's beyond our ability to conceive in fullness, but we know it's going to be better than we can ever imagine. I pray, Lord, with people who four people this morning who might hear or might listen to the video later that don't have a relationship with you, this concept of rest will look totally different. And I pray you'd help people to just come to surrender to you and say, Lord, I don't understand everything about you, but you offer all this loving stuff, and I want to walk in that and know you and get to know you, that you'd help them to say, yeah, I'm going to start following Jesus. He's going to be the one who leads my life now, not me, not my friends, not my work, not other things that I belong to, not my schedule certainly, but I want to follow Jesus, the one who loves me. And help us, Lord, in our ability to set aside the time that is necessary for us to be continually refreshed and useful to you to spread the good news. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we sing the doxology?